Grace and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I always have a little apprehension scheduling congregational meetings in the second half of November. The gospel readings for the day are always the apocalypse. And I'm always a little worried that the apocalypse might roll over to the meeting. Rumors of war might become war. We'll get to some more of the more dramatic images. But before that, I want to spend a little time on the story that sets it up. There are two reasons for the apocalyptic. And being a Lutheran, I'd say they roughly conform to the law and the gospel. The legal reason for the apocalyptic is that we might wake up and see. Apocalypse itself simply means a revealing, a peeking behind the veil that covers things and lifting it up. The mystery from all time is being proclaimed. And that law forces us to see ourselves rightly. To see our works and our ways and what they produce. The gospel reason for the apocalyptic is that we might be assured. After seeing, after looking behind the veil, the correct response for sinful humans is horror and fear. Isaiah, seeing the train of the Almighty's robe fill the temple, called out, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." And the almost universal response to seeing an angel is to fall down blubbering. When confronted directly with the holy, we know that we are not, and that judgment is both proper and that it comes. The repeated cry in other places of the apocalyptic is, "Let the hills fall on me and cover me." Cover it back up. The revelation is too much for me. Those are proper responses to the revelation itself. Unless we recognize the one who is our judge. What sets off Jesus' apocalypse is a rather natural action of his disciples. They're leaving the Jerusalem temple, one of the wonders of the ancient world. And they motion Jesus, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." I think we can understand their action in a few ways. We'd certainly have exactly the same thoughts leaving any massive cathedral. We'd have it on the mall in Washington, D.C., at the Capitol or any of the monuments. It's the demand to look at how great we are. Look at what the collective we has done. Of course, in the immediately preceding stories to our gospel lesson, what this work is built on has been revealed. The parable of the tenants reveals us stealing what belongs to God. The Sadducees' rejection of the resurrection reveals the lack of faith. The desire of the scribes for the best seats and the seats of honor, reveals how temporal desires overwhelm us. And the collection of the widow's mite reveals our all too often oppression of the poor. The most beautiful things that we can build are often built to hide their ugly means, to put a veil over how and why of the human heart. Jesus, teacher, look. And notice there the downgrade. Teacher. Not the king of the triumphal entry or the Christ of Peter's confession, but teacher. Just another rabbi. Teacher, join us in marveling how great we all are. Look at our own Tower of Babel that ensures that we will not be forgotten. This work that we think will survive the next flood and save us. And it's to all that that the revelation comes. Jesus asks them back, do you really see these stones? How great and marvelous they are. Everything that they stand for. Why are you asking me to look at them? Do you see these buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And there is definitely the law in Jesus' response. Wake up and see. Even our grandest collective works do not last in the face of the day. Not one stone on top of another. But there's also the gospel invitation. Thrown down by who? See the one who you are with today. Because God is not tabernacled in tent or stone. God today is tabernacled in flesh. You are worshiping dead stones. Yet you have the Lord of life in your midst right now. See the one who is with you. Stop staring at towers of Babel and turn to the one calling you by name. Your salvation has come to you, not in polished stones or grandeur, but your salvation has come to you humbly. Your salvation has come to you not in towers, but by faith. Look not at the temporal things, but the eternal thing. But that revelation sets up the ultimate challenge of this world that we live in. This world is the temporal thing. And all of its grandeur and glory. Everything that is constantly being thrown up and saying, look at these great stones. Everything that tempts our gaze and promises our salvation. Lose your life here Look at our works. But in its offerings, the world is remarkably the same. The same things that have dominated our collective attention from the beginning are still there. Many come saying they are the one. That if you follow my cause, salvation will surely follow. Many start wars that add to the glory of the nation. The nations rise against nation to test their mettle. And kingdoms strive with kingdoms for the pride of life. Earthquakes that some will promise that they themselves can control if you just give them the power and authority. In the train of messiahs and wars and promises to control, when it all passes, there are famines. To make an omelet, you have to break a few eggs. All this must happen. It's happened from the beginning of the world until today. Look at them. See them rightly. Understand what the glamour that they offer covers. And understand what you have been called to. Because you've not been called to that temporary glamour. Because it's been revealed to you. You've seen behind the veil. And when you understand how the glamour works, you don't get to unsee it. When you see it, those who are casting that glamour will know that you are not on their team. But you will be delivered. You'll be delivered to councils. You'll be delivered to governors. You'll be delivered to kings. But you shall be delivered. The one who endures to the end will be saved. Because all of the councils of the world, all of the governors and kings, everything, even our own brothers and fathers and children might have gone over to, not one will remain on another. Only what is done for Christ shall last. Only that word of God, those words given by the Holy Spirit, are eternal. And that word that we are given to proclaim is, look, see your judge. It's Christ, your father who receives you like the prodigal, your brother who consoles you, your family, the body of Christ. He was delivered. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He was delivered. The Father raised him up on the third day. And he was delivered that we might be delivered. Our brother comes again in glory to judge both the living and the dead. And unlike the glamour of the kingdoms, his kingdom has no end. See. See not the swiftly passing glory of the world, but see the truth of the cross. See the one who delivers you, not by glamour, but by his grace. See the one who is with you today and calls you by name today. And don't fear. These things must happen. But you have been delivered. Amen.